God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Names are really important. What we call people, how we refer to each other, matters. As a female priest, the question I'm probably asked more than any other is, what are we supposed to call you? My answer is usually, Lee. That is, after all, my name, or my name now. I was born Lee Ellen Franklin, and for the first 8 years of my life, I was called Lee Ellen, a name I never liked, and grew to dislike immensely after having been called Lou Ellen and Lee Ann and any other number of things. More importantly, was that this name didn't seem to fit me. Even though my parents, like other first-time parents-to-be, deliberated greatly over what my name should be. At 8 years old, I boldly announced that I should no longer be called Lee Ellen, and from that point on be referred to only as Lee. The announcement was well met by everyone except my paternal grandparents, who refused to call me anything but Lee Ellen until the day that they each died. In the South, names most often are taken from relatives. In my family, that was quite a struggle with grandmothers with names like Lottie Mae Cordelia and Gladys Louise. Thankfully, we could reach farther back and take different bypasses, and we're able to use last names as first names, a not infrequent Southern tactic, but one that frequently leaves the casual bystander somewhat confused. Which is his first name, and which is his last? Naming is very important. Parents often struggle throughout a pregnancy over what to name their child. On more than one occasion, I remember going to visit a newly born baby boy, Jones or Smith or whatever, who still didn't have a given name because the weight of the decision on the part of the parents was so great that 8 or 9 months did not allow for enough time to arrive at a decision. In our Christian tradition, we name children at baptism. Granted, their parents have been referring to them by a name for any numbers of months of years prior to their baptism, but for the church, they are named and marked as Christ's own at the time of baptism. They are named before God and by God and by a gathered community, and claimed as a member of the family of all the baptized. The Roman Catholic Church assigns a name at confirmation to the new confirmand. The confirmand is asked to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide her or him to find a saint of the church whose life he or she wishes to emulate. And then the bishop adds that name to the confirmand's name. So if I were Roman Catholic, my name might be Lee Ellen Teresa Franklin, which unfortunately doesn't make me feel better one little bit. In the Jewish tradition, parents are urged to name their children with a name that will have a positive effect, since every time it's used, the person will be reminded of its meaning. Names are important. What we are called has an impact on who we are. I heard yesterday on NPR a brief blip of the call-in from a person named Emily. The folks taking the call immediately noted that Emily is a happy name, that the very act of saying the name Emily causes one's mouth to move into a smile. They went on to say that one could hardly be depressed with a name like Emily. A name that causes one to smile. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that names and how we refer to each other are important. And I read from Hosea. Hosea is told directly by God what to name his children. And if the Jewish tradition is to name children something positive so that the name person will always be reminded of the positive meaning of his or her name, that tradition was not in effect at the time of Hosea. Hosea embodied the experience of God's relationship with Israel. So much so that he was told to marry a promiscuous woman, mirroring the promiscuity of Israel in his refusal to be faithful to God only, and not to worship Baal or any other number of gods that were around in the neighboring peoples. God told Hosea to name his first son Jezreel, because God said, "In a little while, I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel." Next came a daughter, who God insisted be named Lo-Ruhamah, "For I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them." Finally, a third child was born, again a son. And his God-given name was Lo-Ami, "For you are not my people, and I am not your God." As I said, the naming of a child that would have a positive effect on his or her life was not obviously the custom at the time. Or God didn't abide the human tradition. These are heavy names. These children, if born in our time, would have serious self-esteem issues. The names given the children of Hosea indicate a reversal of the covenant with God, the covenant that said, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." God, in effect, says through Hosea, "You have not been my people, so how can I be your God?" These children embody the breach of the covenant that you, who would be my people, have not abided by. But in the end, God does not write them off totally. God says they will be known as children of the living God, even though they have been unfaithful, even though God is ready to be rid of them, to annul the covenant. God still acknowledges them as children of the living God, no matter how scattered or dispersed or fragmented the people of Israel are. The people of Israel at this time being the northern kingdom, the lost tribes. They're still the children of the living God. They still belong to God. They have been chosen and named. Being named, it's important. What we call each other says something about our relationship, who we are, and who we are in relation to each other. If you have a special relationship with someone, you might refer to them by a pet name. You wouldn't call someone you have a casual relationship with by a pet name. But you might have a name of endearment for someone you are quite close to. My children are Boo and Roo on a good day. If they are Kenneth, Robert, and Colin Lane, they know something is up. Nicknames indicate a special, close relationship. Very few people refer to their parents by their first names. More often we call our parents Dad or Mom, or something that indicates the intimacy of our relationship. Jesus' disciples wanted him to teach them to pray. They heard him refer to God as Abba, something loosely translated as Daddy. They wanted to have that sort of intimate relationship with God, so they asked Jesus to show them, to teach them, to guide them, so that their relationship with God in prayer might be like his. So Jesus gave them what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. We will never know if Jesus' intent was that this prayer be prayed in the words he used specifically, or if it was meant to be a guideline for a prayer format. But the church has taken it as a specific prayer. What we know is that this prayer was based on Jesus' relationship with God, a relationship born out of closeness, of knowing. a relationship, not just a casual encounter. What Jesus says in this prayer was, you are God. Your name is to be hallowed. Your name, the name of God, is above all other names. Remember, when Moses asked God to reveal his name, he said, I am, or I will be what I will be. We can't pin God down on a name, because God is, after all, God. Jesus then petitions that God's kingdom come and ask that our daily bread be given by God, that our needs be supplied daily. He, in Luke's account, asks for our sins to be forgiven because we ourselves have forgiven everyone indebted to us. That should cause us to pause. We should be forgiven because we have forgiven everyone indebted to us. God, who knows us each by name, who counts us as his children, knows better than that. God knows our hypocrisies in our hearts. We strive for a clean slate. We yearn to be the people God wants us to be. We want to act like God's children and fear being named Lo Rama or Lo Ami. We want to be named as the saints and not as those who have fallen short. We want to keep the covenant and be the people of God, but it is not easy. Being in relationship with a sometimes seemingly distant deity is much more difficult to do on a day-to-day basis than being in relationship with those we see and know and put a face with a name. Names are important. Being able to address each other by name holds a claim. How we refer to each other, what we call each other, means something. Whether you call me Lee or Mother Lee or any other way you might speak to me is important. It speaks to our relationship. Are we close? Or do we hold each other at arm's bay? How we refer to God is equally important. Do we have a relationship with God? Or do we hold God at arm's length? Not wanting God to get too close, too personal. We are named as Christ's own forever in baptism. He knows us all by name. If we don't have a personal relationship with God, my hope is that we work toward that. That we develop a relationship with God, with Christ, so that we too can pray, Abba, Daddy, your will be done.